hello and welcome to the South Carolina Business Review. This is Mike Switzer. As is our annual custom, this is the time of year when we share with you excerpts from the recent Economic Outlook Conference presented by the University of South Carolina's Moore School of Business in Columbia. Today's excerpt comes from Gene Milliken Bonds, Senior Manager of Regional Community Development for the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond.
Across the 12 Reserve Banks and the Board of Governors, we have this function called community development. And South Carolina is in the 5th District, so we spend a great deal of time working with the financial institutions, working with community groups and local governments all across the state. As you know, the Federal Reserve, our mission is a strong economy and a sound financial system. My colleagues are no different. We're just very interested in making sure that the people up the chain with the Federal Reserve know about the community perspectives. So we spend a great deal of time listening in the community and relaying information back up so that what's going on in all of the South Carolina communities gets communicated up to the FOMC. So Opportunity Zones passed in the Tax Cut and Jobs Act of 2017. This particular law said that a state can designate up to 25% of its low-income tracts as these zones. So South Carolina has 1,097 census tracts, 538 were eligible as low-income, and you have 128 approved tracts. There is one in each of the 46 counties in South Carolina. Now, to step back a little bit, the policy goals, this concept is not exactly new. It's been around. There was some legislation introduced in 2015, and it ended up being rolled into the tax bill last December. But really, the policy goals here are to drive long-term private sector investments in these communities, channel equity capital into overlooked markets. So as the country has been growing, we see some unevenness across the country with growth. And so this was specifically designed for those overlooked markets. Reinvest realized capital gains into distressed communities. This is the first new community investment program in more than 15 years. Many of you would think about New Markets Tax Credit Program was the last one. There have been other zones. There have been empowerment zones and promise zones that usually come packaged with grants and priorities on federal monies. This is different because this is a private investment tool, so much more like the New Markets Tax Credit. Some of the predictions are that this could scale to the largest economic development program in the country. Some of the benefits of this incentive is that taxpayers can get capital gains tax deferral for investing in these opportunity funds. And the funds are set up, and then they will invest in the zones. But it's capital gains deferral, it's partial forgiveness, and it's forgiveness of additional gains. So kind of a three-pronged approach to an incentive to a taxpayer. The opportunity funds invest then in the property in those zones. Now, a lot of people that I talked to before the program started said, where are we going to find the list of all of these funds? And I have to tell you, that is not in the law. There is nothing in the law that talks about measuring the effects of this, and there's nothing in the law that talks about a central repository for those funds. There's one place that you can go now, and this is not an endorsement, but Novogradac. You can go to their website, and they have been tracking who is setting up funds. So that is a place where you can go take a look. They make no claims as to the validity of those funds, but they are starting to map those that are out there. The qualified opportunity funds are really an investment vehicle that many of you are familiar with. It can be a corporation, it can be a partnership, and they're going to exist to invest in these funds. What we know right now is that they must hold at least 90% of their assets in those properties, in those zones, and that entities will self-certify. There's an IRS form, 8996. It's still in draft form. That is the self-certification. And that's really why we won't have a central place for all the funds, because it's really between those entities that create it and the IRS.
You've been listening to an excerpt from the recent Economic Outlook Conference presented by the University of South Carolina's Moore School of Business in Columbia. Today's excerpt came from Jean Milliken Bonds, Senior Manager of Regional Community Development for the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond. Remember, you can hear this show again at our webpage, southcarolinapublicradio.org, where you can also subscribe to this podcast. With the South Carolina Business Review, this is Mike Switzer.
The views expressed on the South Carolina Business Review do not necessarily reflect those of South Carolina Public Radio.